Welcome into episode 175 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a blether with cats. Cats and gangs. It'll become important soon. Retreat section, review section with Blackguard Birthday brushwork yarn and Knitted Goddess Sparkle wool. Coming up, me section and the shoppy section. I also have a Buchel in residence, so just one dog tonight. This episode is kindly sponsored by my lovely, lovely friend Angela. Scotch Tweed is a small family textiles firm based in the Scottish Borders, run by Angela with a huge amount of technical and know-how support from her dad, Gerald. They have a wealth of experience into the weaving and textile trade, over 57 years to be exact. Their aim is to bring top quality tartan and tweed fabric, along with other Scottish goods and apparel, including Highland wear, to their customers at the best possible value. Angela is happy to speak to anyone at any time in regards to the requirements. If you cannot see what you're looking for on the website, give her a call. The number is on the website, www.scotchtweed.co.uk, and is a UK free phone number. The website is currently undergoing a little bit of refurb and update, so not all the products are showing at the moment, but if in doubt, get in touch. To help support the podcast, Angela has provided a discount code for listeners. Just quote CCC podcast at checkout to receive a 10% discount anytime. All the links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your drams and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week. Again, thank you, Angela.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Cats. Cats operating in gangs. Oh, Richard does it way better than me. If any of you listen to Radio 6 Sean Keaveney Breakfast Show, then you will have heard this sound clip plenty times, and it's taken from Jeremy Vine's Radio 2 talk show. Isn't it absolutely random? I can't remember the context of it anymore, but I think I actually listened to that show when I drove home one day from Wick. However, Sean Keaveney thinks it's hilarious and he has it played quite a bit. Okay, who here has their cats operating in gangs, vision? Did you know a cat can jump over 5 foot from just standing still? Do you all have your cats coming towards you with their tails all pointing high and give me all your food look in their face? Have you got them wearing bandit masks and carrying a sword like Puss in Boots? Or are they all nice cats? They are in a gang. Gang is used as a term to describe a group with a common purpose. We have a gang of Caithness Craft Collective podcast listeners and host. Here I'm in this gang because I'm the founder member. Gangs exist as its members that can be anything from a gang of monkeys, a gang of knitters, a gang of lions, albeit they're a pride, but it can be a proud gang if that's how they want to go. Animals flock together as a gang for protection and to increase their species. They assist each other, such as the meerkats babysitting all the other mothers can eat and stay alive. Lions hunt as a gang so they can eat and stay alive. Sometimes this is a basic need. I like to think of the starlings and their mummerations doing a dance as a gang. A gang dance. Not quite Gangnam style, but with more grace and beauty than humans could ever achieve. There is, of course, pecking order to gangs. The alpha male or alpha female who everyone has to bow to whether they like it or not. There are the other types of personalities in the gang. Some good, some not so good. Crafters do sometimes go primal when it comes to sales. I asked my mum how was Birmingham Festival of Quilts and she said very friendly. She really enjoyed herself. I've not actually been round at an appropriate time to get a good recording offer, but I will at some point soon because I know that you mum fans will like to hear how the land of mum is doing. But she said that Birmingham was friendly, everyone took their time in letting people get close to the quilts for photos and good looking at as the queue was very polite. Now, I've been to the ACCC when it was every crafter for themselves, and some of those crafters could be quite rude in getting to the front of the stand and standing on feet or elbowing you out the way. If you're a gang of gangsters, it might possibly be time to reevaluate your life if you're terrorising other people. Knitters and, of course, crocheters, in fact, crafters as a whole, tend to be a good gang to be in. It crosses all sorts of borders of race, religion and gender. You can be from age 1 up to age 101 and beyond when you are crafty. As a crafty gang, we tend to be generous in our ideas, our visions and our craft. Some are generous to fault and never make anything for themselves. Some make stuff not to give away but to show off and use to sell themselves for their skills. Some only make stuff for themselves but are happy to tell you how to make things. I'd say that was a really good range there. We flock to each other when we spot each other across a crowded room. It can be very difficult to go into a room of people even if you know them already. And it's a natural thing to look for things in common which will give you a diving board for conversation. This is why we like festivals, because we can be with others that love the same things that we love. And that goes for all sorts of hobbies, sports, sometimes even work, albeit sometimes you're looking for a way not to talk about work itself. You can, of course, move around the pecking order being promoted and demoted depending on your behaviour. I hope your behaviour is good, your spirit is generous, and your cats behave. My favourite cat is Jeremy Jean. I am now humming Love Cats, and I'm wondering why there isn't a market for spinning cat hair. We spin rabbit hair and all other small critter hair, and even some spinners have spun dog hair. As a pet owner, I could see why you would maybe want something spun out the fibre of your furry friend, but my pod dog's fur is short and totally unspinnable, certainly by me. Has anyone spun cat fur? I take it that you would want a long-haired, soft version. I'm not big on my breeds of cats, so you can fill in the blanks here. And what the cats were operating on, I have got no idea. Were they conspiring to eat all the cheese in the Wensleydale factory? Were they ganging up on the rats, rats as big as cats, in the quartermaster store? Or were they heading down to the Amazon Supo depot to sit in all their boxes? I think on that note, I'll leave you with your vision of your cats. Cats. Operating in gangs. Now we need a bit more giggle. So here's the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
The review section.
Yarn review. I have two this episode. I am a lucky, lucky lady, and you are lucky, lucky listeners to hear about new wills coming up. And I'm doing this purely in the order that they were posted to me. The first one is Blacker, and it's their brushwork. Happy birthday to you soon, Blacker. This is their birthday yarn, and yet again, listeners, it is a stonker. This year is a sport weight. Now, you need your hands here. Who here likes merino? A lot of you, if not most of you. Well, me too. I'm a big fan of merino, and I have a lot of it. I like the feeling of it when I knit with it. It takes dye beautifully. There's very little prickle to it. I like the wear of it and the right thing. It's fantastic for shawls, for drapes, nice and soft in a baby too. It has, of course, its drawbacks, the main one being that most merino does not come from the UK. They are suited to a different climate than here. These sheepy friends aren't so keen on fog and damp and cold and dreich. And today, I can't say I blame them. But the market in the UK has a big want for merino, and it's growing and growing. There are, of course, plenty of alternatives to merino, the big one being blue-faced Leicester. So don't despair, listeners. However, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, enter stage left our friend, the Scottish Beaumont sheep. But you've never heard of one either. No, neither had I. They were originally developed from crossing a Saxon merino with a Shetland, and this makes a merino-style sheep that can live in the UK's fog and damp and cold and dreich weather. Poor thing. I mean, we've got to do it, so I suppose they have to too. However, we're really lucky. The majority of the fleece goes straight to the luxury garment making for those that can afford it and bypasses the craft market. Until, listeners, Sue of Blacker was on the case and she got herself a bale of it. Everyone do the happy dance. Revel in the luxury that we deserve as crafters. Blacker have then developed the Beaumont with a 10% Castle Milk Murat, which is on the risk list as there's only about 1,000 of our sheepy friends of the Castle Milk Murat left in the UK. Oh no. They produce a plump and bouncy brown fleece which adds the depth and rustic character to the yarn. Then, because we weren't being spoiled enough, I know, Blagger then added 20% of UK alpaca, which gives Drake an extra luxury to the woolen spun birthday yarn. I really like this background this year. Loving it, loving it, loving it. Loving it like this. I mean, they always go over and above the beyond the call of duty when it comes to supporting the industry anyway. This year, no different. With us all having the feeling that we were coming out of Savile Row with the added luxury of the luxury yarn. On to the colours. I was sent a shade card from the lovely Sonia. So, hello Sonia! And as ever, there was a rainbow in my letterbox from Blacker. A soft colour palette this year as the fibre was dyed before spinning. And it reminded them of watercolours. And their 8 shades have been named after painting techniques. So, I'll take you through it and no laughing at my pronunciation. Louise Scully, stop it. Oh, see, Hannah Ross is off now. Oh, Suzanne, can you sort them out? Right, where are we? The first one is a sort of darker green and it's called Crackle Lure. And then the light green, which is the one I've got, and it's almost the shade of mint choc chip ice cream. I say this because we have currently got mint choc chip and it's called Scumble. Then there's Wash, which is the more natural one, but it looks quite a whitish one. But they're still with the brown murat in it. It's got little tiny flecks of not white in there. Of course, sheep aren't white. Then there's Velatura, and it's a bonny blue. Smudge is bonny purple. Stipple, which is the lighter purple. Impasto, which is the pink. And Splosh, which is the lime. Now, of course, when you've only got a swatch of them, they tend to be what you really want them to be, because when I showed the swatch to Naomi and Debbie, they saw the green as yellow. Just now, it totally looks lime, but maybe it was the light. So it would be really nice to actually see them, you know, all sitting together and then you a proper idea of the colours as you would see them in a garment. But cool names. These shades have been blended as little as possible to preserve the small nubs of the individual colours of the yarn. For this reason, each and every ball is unique, and you may find a subtle colour variation from one ball to another, so you have to be aware you may wish to alternate balls for consistent colour as is with normal hand-dyed yarn. So, okay, I said this is a sport weight and has been woolen spun, and you're getting 152 metres-ish for your 50 gram balls. And it's going to retail in at £8.40. It's luxurious content being reflected in the fair price. My findings were as follows. So when I opened up, I thought, oh, it's not a colour I would have chosen. But you know, I really like it. When I started to look at it, and it, because of the wee nups and slight variegation, the way it's been, there is depth to it. It's soft in colour and soft in hand. All the shades are soft. They're lovely. It's sport ply and I used a 3.5 metal needle for this swatch. The rib, fantastic. The stocking stitch, love it. Meant to be. Moss stitch, love it. Just looks proper. Garter stitch, it's okay. Looks good. I like the moss stitch. Cable, excellent, really excellent. The lace, I think I would do this in a feather and fan. And the pico bind off, lovely. It sits quite nicely. The normal bind off puts where it is considering that it's softness. It stayed put. And there's no kind of like fluting out. Sometimes you get that with a normal knitted bind off. The colour, as I said before, it's not flat. There's slight shading and it's light. Lovely. There is the odd bit of matter or kind of vegetable because the sheep's been outside, which is good. We like our sheep to be outside and having a good old life, but just be aware that you might have to pick out the odd bit. Nothing bad, just it's there. It blocked beautifully. There's halo, which we'd have to take into consideration into its finished item as it gives a lovely bloom. The sort of more the stocking stitch and the moss stitch and the rib stitch absolutely look like they're supposed to be like that. The lace, Don't know, I think maybe just a feather and fan. I don't know whether the lace that Chai was using. So, you're... Oh, and then, because it's not just knitters that listen to this, it's crocheters as well. I got my crochet hook out and I did a crochet, a couple of swatches with it. And it comes up nice as a normal double stitch, a triple stitch. Churns out a lovely granny square, but it's stupendous as a bobble stitch. So I would recommend this for crocheting as well. Your list of possibilities for what you could actually use it for. I looked up sport weight and ran through Ravelry's suggestions, the top 15, and coming up with like a baby top, the wee envelope from a Solda Teak would be lovely. A cable jumper from the Ninny Cable Jumper, and it's Hannah Masiyaska. I can't read my writing. And then you could have the Vitamin D Waterfall cardigan, because I think there's enough drape for it to sit and it would be lovely. Autumn's Gold by Alana Dagos. You could have a shawl in it. I can't see this. Why did I choose ones that I can't see? The Pufuil Rope by Alpi Alpen Rose. It's a beautiful shawl and it's got nice folds in it, and you pull one edge of your shawl through holes in the shawl, and just this would have a nice drape and it would just sit there, I think, and it would be nice and warm. You could maybe use this as hap wool as well, get away with that. It's got a wooliness to it, but with the alpaca in it, it's also got the luxury and the beaumont. You could put your leftovers towards a butterfly cocoon by Susan B. Anderson, or you could make something else. I'll come on to that later. So this is coming out on the 28th of September, so you can start planning now for your cardigans, as aforementioned, hats and gloves. Blagger, I don't know how you're going to top this one next year. Right, moving on. The Knitting Goddess Sparkle Wool. Now, Joy always wraps things so prettily, and this was a pretty surprise in the postbox last week. I was quite delighted because the purple package arrived. What's that? Joy sent me stuff recently. I didn't order anything. Yes, it's more review yarn. And this is hand-dyed 4-ply sparkle wool. And we've got 70% BFL, Bluefies Leicester, 23% Masham, and 7% Lurex. And my one's coming in a silver Lurex sparkle. Now, both the wools are sourced from UK flocks and processed in the UK, and it's custom spun in Yorkshire by the lovely folks at Laxton's. So hooray for supporting, with Blagger as well, the UK industry. And there's approximately 100 grams and you're going to get 400 metres per full skein. And I had Midnight Sparkle and Silver Sparkle. And this is going on sale at the end of August. The single and multicolours will cost £20 for 100 gram 400 metre skein. And they're also going to have mini skein sets, which will cost £27 for 120 grams and 480 metre set. And with the mini skein sets, I thought of you here, Maddie Harvey and Maddie Harvey fans. First thought was, oh, like it. I have the purple grape, which is the Midnight Sparkle, and purple and blues, right, my colours, and then there was the silver sparkle. Smells of sheep when you put your nose into it, but not when you're working on, for you sheepy smell fans. It's soft in the hand to wind, and with the BFL and Masham, it gives a divine loft, and there's a lovely halo to it in the ball. Joy has dyed up a variety of colours, a rainbow as ever, and with the Lurex thread running through it, this was going to fly out the door when you see this. She has pictures of it on her Instagram already, so you can get an idea of what I'm talking about. So, my findings in knitting were... The cast-on was pretty in knit cast-on and okay in cable cast-on. It doesn't have the same rigidness as silk, but it will do mostly what it's told. Like a 10-year-old child. Not pushing it yet, well over the toddler stage of being defiant. not quite yet in the teenage years. Stocking stitch is beautiful. The rib stitch and cable was, nah, I wouldn't bother. Lace is pretty, and I like it, remembering this is a slightly variegated yarn, so okay, and you need to watch that you don't lose whatever pattern you use in the variegation. But it does work well with an open kind of stitch. I frogged a wee bit out to see how it would cope with it, as I often do. No, listeners, I don't make mistakes. I didn't actually, I just didn't like what I had knitted and I wanted to take it out. And it was a wee bit sticky because the long hairs of the wool were gripping to each other. And this is by no means unworkable, but maybe if you were doing something with a lot of open stitch, you might want to use lifelines. And take care that you don't have to rip back too much. As in, concentrate. Sorry, listeners, I know you don't like doing that. I also finished with a couple of PKs, but it's not, it's quite an open yarn. It's not as tightly spun as other ones. So it's not as easy to pick over the six stitches. So I wouldn't maybe bother with too much with a Pico bind off, unless you had a really lovely sharp pointy needle. And what was I using? Bamboo ones, and they're pointy enough, so you just consider that. I then used it to crochet, and it was like, hello, I'm here, and I'm fabulous, even just in a triple stitch. I didn't do a bobble stitch this time because I couldn't face the passing over of the stitch and the pico bind off, and I didn't want to tempt it on the bobble. But this yarn loves the crochet, just loved it. I was knitting on as well on the blue when I went down to the Helmsdale Highland Games, and I became aware about Lathering Wheel that my needles were bluer than before. I then looked at my hands and they were blue too, so I changed my needles upside down because I was only using two of DPNs, and they became blue as well. So I stopped when I got to Helmsdale and I washed the Smurf off me quite easily, or the Knack Knack Feagles, I suppose, because we were going to Highland Games. I did a bit more when I got home, and it's the same thing. So I thought, ooh, is this awkward? I don't know if this is awkward, but Debbie always says honesty is the best policy. So I worded, I very carefully worded the message to Joy to ask her about this. It's a bit of a thing saying to a lovely dyer who sent you yarn for free to review, and I really want to be completely honest with her and you listeners. So Joy did not disappoint me, and this is what she said. And I think it's absolutely fair and right what she's replied. Hi Louise, thank you for your email. I'm so sorry that you've experienced dye come with the yarn, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to explain what's happening, which I think that's nice. When I dye yarn, I use what's called the exhaust dye method, so yarn stays on the dye pot until the dye is taken up and the water is completely clear. The yarn's then spun to remove excess water, and this lets me check that the water is coming off the yarn is clear. If it isn't, it does go back into another bath to be cooked some more. The yarn's then rinsed to remove any remaining citric acid, which is used to set the dyes. The yarn's spin dried again and allowed to dry before being re-skeined. It's a little work, isn't it? I'll run one skein in every batch across the back of my hand as it's been re-skeined to check for loose dyes. And if I end up with any marks on me, the yarn goes back to the dye to be set again with more heat and citric acid. So far, so good. But you can still get dye coming off, and here's why. While the vast majority of the dye will fix to the yarn and be firmly bonded, some dye particles will fix to other dye particles instead, and this is a weaker bond. Blue and turquoise dyes have a larger dye particles and are particularly prone to this. The technical name for this is crocking, and you'll see it in a lot of fabric as well as yarn. Two things will break weaker bonds: friction and certain pH values. So knitting where you're handling every bit of the yarn is much more likely to break bonds than cutting and sewing a length of fabric. You're more likely to notice dye transfer in fabric when you wear something and it rubs against you or another bit of clothing. This transfer doesn't mean that the yarn is incorrectly dyed, and once it's washed the colours will stay true, because almost all the dye is fixed to the yarn and isn't going anywhere. The pH of your skin can make a big difference. I've got a sample of the same skein I sent you. I've rubbed it back and forth on my back of my hand at speed for 5 minutes. Oh, Joy, you went over and above the call of duty there. There isn't a trace of blue on me, not even after the redness has gone down. Redness? Oh, Joy, what have I done to you? Oh, I'm sorry about that. I've also done a quick bit of knitting with it, and again, there's not a trace of dye on me. It's one of those infuriating things. No dyer can ever be 100% sure that someone else won't get some dye transferred to them when working with their yarn. If you were combining this yarn with something paler, should you worry about bleeding into the paler colour? No. If the dye hasn't fixed after a long soak with heat and acid, it's not going to fix to another yarn without either of those things. When you come to soak your project for blocking, you might want to soak in running water for a few minutes so that any loose dye particles are washed away. Then you'll be fine to soak and block your project as normal. You should find that the dye comes off your hands and needles very easily because you don't have enough heat or acidity to set the dye. If not, what's happening is the pH of your hands is creating strong bonds with the dye particles, and that does mean you're more likely to experience dye transfer. I tend to find that any mild detergent will remove dye, so washing up liquid or soap. The other thing which is brilliant for getting dye off my hands is horribly expensive Aveda shampoo, which is meant to protect the colour in my hair. Apologies, this has turned into a bit of an essay joy. Well, I can't think fairer than that. I mean, she's been honest, she's explained it, there's chemistry in there. I know more, you know more, and it's not like the yarn is insufficient. It's just, that's what happens with blue dye. And it explains why we get blue legs sometimes when we buy a new pair of jeans. Blue, as I said last episode, is a get to wash out properly with the chemistry part kicking in. How dare you interfere with my knitting chemistry? The blue came out, honestly it did, but Joy explained it perfectly with that. I'd be more than happy to recommend this, as now you know what Joy has gone into testing it, whipping herself. Now, the blogging then made the fabric blue and the water blue, as discussed a wee bit ago, and when it was wet and been rinsed through, nothing came out. When I added soak, a wee bit did come out, and then because I was all up on pH thoughts, I tried hand soap just to see, because I'm reviewing it, so it's not like it was going to be a garment. And that was an altogether different story, because the Smurfs, or the Knack Knack Feagles, were having a bath. Joy was completely correct. It has not changed or faded the colour at this time, and I kept a bit back to compare and contrast. And it did not in any way, shape or form bleed, because I'd knitted a bit of the silver at the end to see if it would, after the message to prove her right. And I'm delighted it was. So Mr. Sinclair, Wick High School, you were right when it came to chemistry stuff. Now, I would love this, actually. This would be beautiful in a cowl. So for garments, I think it would be beautiful as a pair of fingerless mitts or cuffs or leg warmers or a cowl, because it's nice and soft. Even with the Lurex in it, didn't feel it at all. Because, you know, sometimes Angelina or Lurex can be a little bit scratchy. I didn't find that at all. And I think also it would be amazing, amazing, as Twin St. Helens Tunisian crochet paving mitts or the cowl. Because the two colours I had just screamed, use me together! And the dye not running into each other. You know, I'd be a fool not to. Now, I wouldn't use them for things like hard-wearing sock heels. I would maybe use it for hats with stock in it, and a bit of maybe lace would be good if you're using the solid colours. Or crocheting, because, oh, it was awesome in the crocheting. It was, hello! And it would be warm and soft against the skin. Oh, a did catch the Lurex with my needle once, so you maybe want to be cautious of that. You know, when you catch a thread of your ply of yarn, sometimes it sticks out, so that's something you might want to know. And you could even have a travelling cardigan in this. You could roll it up and stuff it into the luggage and hardly any weight at all, because not all of us are blessed with the Terry Pratchett luggage with legs. Some of us have to actually haul things along. And it reminds me of that way of kid silk haze, but not as thin or hairy and not goat. So not really like kid silk haze, just because it's light. So I reckon if you want to make Maddie Harvey, or remember Carol Feller had a whole book on mini skeins? Well, this is the yarn that you have been waiting on. If you want to make someone some gloves or pretty hat for Christmas, this is the yarn for you. If you own, or are owned by a small daisy who loves sparkle, then again, this is the yarn for you. Or them. It has wow factor to look at, and when it's touched, it confirms the ah in wow. Both yarns are coming to you very soon. The sparkle first, and then you're going to be finished with that by the time the brushwork comes out. So, what's not to like? Thank you to Blacker and to Knitting Goddess for me reviewing them. It was quite a full review, but I think that your yarn wanting juices are hovering your fingers over that bye-bye-bye-bye-bye-bye button on your keyboard. Right, retreat. Oh, look, swallows. Oh, actually, they're nearly gone. They have fledged and they are just fattening up now, ready to go. They always go about Daisy's birthday, so her birthday's next month, and they will be going soon. The farmer has cut some, I don't know if it's grass or hay, but he's made it into square bales, which don't see that very often. I know that the young chills hate doing it, but he loves it because he doesn't have to pick them up and carry them about. He makes the young chills do it. retreat, yeah. Well, it was full. Yeah, sorry. Oh, you're still there. Yeah, I know you're kicking yourself. Right, Richard and I sat down and thrashed through the spreadsheet one night, and then within days it was full up. So, sorry. My sincere apologies if you've missed out. I will take names for waiting list if you'd still like to be considered, as sometimes there has been spaces for one reason or another. The dates are the last full weekend, May 2018, 24th Thursday to 27th Sunday of May. I'm absolutely delighted with this. In fact, I felt real bad having to say, no, I'm sorry, we're full, to somebody who would love to come along. Once the deposits have been paid and the worry part has been taken away from me, I will be turning my brain to the fun parts, like the workshop and all the other things that I put in the goodie bag and get organised for. So attendees of 2018, can you check your emails and attend to the messages? Feel free to chat on the Ravelry thread, let yourselves be known to each other. I'm sad that some of our previous years aren't coming back again, but this does mean that we have new friends waiting to be made, and it can be a huge thing to come to this kind of event on your own. So please let's all extend our gangs of happy friendship out to each other. And this year we are all UK based. So more on that in due course.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up, 10th of September, the Perth Festival is on. Not that I'm jealous or anything. And it's really easy for everywhere in Scotland pretty much to get to, because all roads and rail lead to Perth. So have fun, because I'm going to be running back and forward to Thurso all week that week for Daisy doing her Wizard of Oz flying monkey, because I thought it was the weekend after when I heard the announcement of both of them. Yeah, and I'm glad it's not the weekend after, because she has rehearsal 4 times this week and she's just a flying monkey. But next year, Eve has promised to kidnap me. Listeners, it's not just your dream to be kidnapped and stuck in a yarn festival. Imagine! You'd have all the needles, all the yarn, most of the patterns. We could give you Ravelry, all the notions, all the designers, and you could be warm just by climbing into a big box of yarn. In fact, I think I'd have Carl Feller's big box of yarn. It was huge. I'm not sure about eating, though. Maybe if I'm being kidnapped, we could maybe take a picnic basket like Yogi Bear would. 2 weeks to go, everyone. Hate you. It's not fair. Anyway, enjoy it if you're going. I'm really jealous because Maddie Harvey's going to be there. Gone Craft's going to be there. Ripple Craft's going to be there. I'm not going to be there. Cheshire Fibre Festival 2018, 1st of October in the Marthall Village Hall. Nick from Yarns from the Plain is going to be there. November Festival down in Hitchin in Herefordshire. It's Sunday the 11th of November from 10 to 5 at the Priory School, Bedford Road, Hitchin, with Gardening Witch Jane, who's going to be there. And Loch Ness Knit Fest, the 13th to the 15th of October. I'm going to be there. Ha! You'll get there eventually. On the Saturday, I'm going up and down the road with Naomi, Mum, possibly Debbie, possibly Sarah. We dropped that. And she coming to Inverness for a day in the October holidays. And she went, yes. So they were going to both have a look. And I'm taking the two-handed fair isle with Catherine Limer and turning sideways with Willie Wormhead. And I think Naomi's taking an entire day with Carrie Westerman. But she's taking an entire day with somebody, and I'm quite jealous. Cause it'd be quite good if you could have two of you, you know? Imagine that at workshops and stuff. You could have lots of you go to all the different things. Imagine how good a knitter you'd be, or a crocheter. Wow. Anyway, moving on. I'm going to be floating about the marketplace for the lunchtime. I'd love to catch up with you with hugs, and mum hugs too. And I'm going to be buying from Dye Ninja because I want some of the Lady of May yarn. Now, the Charity Knit Along, I'm going to mention this again. The Queen Mother's Clothing Guild, founded in 1882, do a remarkable amount for causes across the UK. Charities local to us have benefited from the Guild, including Women's Aid, Ragmore Hospital, Highland Hospice, Horseback UK and Chas Children's Hospice. The Queen Mother's Clothing Guild collects knitted items as well as bed linens, anoraks and other items from generous crafters, distributes them across their charity partners after packing and sorting in the autumn. Incredibly, they manage to gather about 20,000 items annually for those in need. How can you help? Well, listeners, that's just the thing. Without people like you, who love to knit, oh yes, that's me, the charity wouldn't achieve such great things that generally aid so many across the country. So we challenge you to get those knit needles in action and help aid to the collection of crafty wonders. So the items that they're most in need are hats, gloves, scarves, socks for men, women and children, premature baby clothing, pram or cot blankets, knee rugs, bed blankets. So if you're an avid knitter and able to help, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you're a beginner, a simple knitted square or two will do, and we can transform these into beautiful blankets. The Knit Along is about the participation and sharing of finished objects. A few prizes will be awarded to people who post the associated threads of the Ravelry group Loch Ness Knit Fest chat. Exact details will be confirmed, and we will award prizes for most helpful and congenial, most prolific crafter. I don't think I'll win that one. Best team effort. I don't know, we could be in a team. Do you want to be in a team? Most Highlander themed. Highland Coon, orange. Random prize draw. I think that's my best chance. To show just how marvellous you are, we would like to display your finished objects at the festival and present them to the Guild. So please send them to Loch Ness Knit Fest Limited, 8 High Street, Invergordon. I like this very much. In fact, I am currently using the blacker brushwork to make a wee hat to donate. It's just a wee beanie hat, but it's by Janet Russell or Twisted Knitter. It's really nice to be able to afford to give things to help, and I know plenty of people who've been assisted by this charity. And if you've been needed to be assisted by some of these charities, how nice would it just to be like given something, like a little baby beanie hat that might give you a little bit more hope in your heart that somebody out there cares. So, fancy going to Inverness? 5 weeks to go. Maybe you missed out my retreat this year. Most of you did. But you really fancy still coming to Scotland. I can guarantee that you're going to need to wear knitwear in October, because I needed to wear my hat yesterday. So let's be the peacocks in Inverness this October.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Me, me, me section. As mentioned just not long ago, I cast on a wee beanie hat by Janet Russell or Twisted Knitter on Ravelry. And this uses sports ply, and you only need 100 yards, so it's not going to take too much or too long. In fact, it's just right for my wants, baby bear. And to use this yarn, and I'm going to give it off. It's a baby bear kind of knitting. I'm using up the blacker brushwork, which I'd say is perfect for this. The colour is neutral and soft, but with a heathery look, it has a right lovely depth to it. It's a joy to work with, and it's quite simple rib and stocking stitch plain hat. I was tempted to put a cable on, but I want a grab and go project for all the sitting outside thurso players or swimming pool or scouts that I've been doing. Waiting. More waiting. Ooh, there's someone. Ooh, I've got a dog. It's a nice dog. I wonder if it's a good dog. Oh, look at them and their stupid boy racer car going doof, 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 doof. What a waste of diesel. Male. Broom, broom. Get your exhaust seen to, boy. Ooh, there's a runner. I wonder if I know them. It's Yvonne, I haven't seen her in ages. Oh, good, she's out running again. She's about my speed. What's the time now? Surely it's time. No, it's not time. Never mind, I'll get another line in at this rate. Right, let's go. Oh, ugh, no, there they are. Right, back in the bag, I'm halfway through that row. I cannot do a cable on that. Goodbye, car parts of Clarso. Does anyone else feel like Mum Taxi? That, or can you remember Mum Taxi, Ella? Yes, I know you can. Desperate to finish the mystery shawl by Kirsten Kapoor now. And it has a name. It's called Fugue in Mosaic Minor. I don't actually think that's how you say F-U-G-U-E. Fuge? Fugue? Anyway, one of the knitters suggested it. It's to do with music and I can see why. I could, honest. I can't explain it, but moving on. I'm on the last lace section. There was 5 sections to the clues and it has been fully released as a normal pattern now. And you can see what it looks like with everybody else's if you go to the pattern pages. Quite a few people have actually made it. Let's see. It's 227 so far and there's me. I've put no pictures up yet. And there must be other people by now because I haven't updated that page for a while. I'm about 187 stitches-ish, and I've got to do another 45 rows, but each row takes about 15 minutes or so. So I'm trying to grab 50 minutes here, 50 minutes there, and just plough through it. I finished the dark green and the blue, and cats operating in gangs. Sorry, it's just the way I was doing the enunciation there. And I'm now working on the light green as it has 3 colours. It originally had 2, but I was running out of the blue, so I added the dark green, and I'm now back onto the light green. I'm also toying with the idea of giving this as a gift to one of the 2 ladies who've been very, very ill recently. And it's not that I don't love it, and I will enjoy showing this one off, as it has, wow, look at that, that's a different factor. Which is actually what the X Factor was called, but they had to shorten it for the TV time space. I just think that one of the ladies will maybe enjoy the gift of gifted yarn and pattern, and it might raise their getting better hormones and give them a hug from me every time they put it on. However, I would recommend this pattern if you fancy something with a wee challenge, something a bit different, that you put into stages, it doesn't feel too onerous, and it changes and keeps your interest running through it. The lace from the first 5 sections is the same, you just do more of the repeats. But the last lace section is a different pattern and it's to be the showpiece to the edge of the shawl. I've loved going through everyone's photos to see their colour choices and finished articles. I will post my photos when mine is finished. I will, I just haven't got around to it yet. Well, actually, I haven't finished it yet. I've even added writing of clue 1, clue 2, clue 3 and clue 4 with the paint tool and the photo app in preparation. I'm professional, me. Actually, the peacock in me wants to wear it to the Loch Ness knit face to show it off, but I also want to give this off and get that person feeling a bit better quicker than that. So, I want to finish it and then I thought, well, I've got 5 weeks to go to Loch Ness knit face. I should really try to finish my Newell cardigan by Cecily Glewick MacDonald. No, I've not finished it yet, listeners. And that would be perfect. Cardigan, great wardrobe investment, which is actually one of the reasons that I chose to do it in the first place. Take it off, take it on, as required, without having to take it over your head. Because I wear a fair few hoodies, being a sporty kind of chick, and I'm forever putting them on back to front and having the hood in my face when I put it on, and then mutter on to change it, and sometimes I have to have Richard to pull the hoodie off for me, or even a child, depends who's close, because I seem to get myself into a straitjacket. I often think of Amanda B. Collins, who's admitted to doing the same thing. Love you, Amanda. Have you seen Amanda's beautiful ebook patterns that keep updating? Yeah, go look, go to my library and find it, because it's lovely. I love this message when it says, Amanda B. Collins has sent you a pattern update. Yes. And huge well done to Naomi, who finished a Gudrun Johnson pattern. I can't remember which, but it was a cardigan and it had a front, rippled front cardigan down the left-hand side, kind of pulled over it. I don't know what the exact word was. One day we saw her and she was about to start the sleeves in grey. The next we saw it, she'd ripped back. Then we saw it had a different colour and it was blue. And the sleeves were done and then she'd done it in a different size. And I just couldn't keep up. But then she was asking, what buttons and where did I put it? I think she was wearing it. Always continuing to amaze and inspire us, Naomi. She listens, you know. I'm slowly working on Rapunzel's Tower socks by Becky Green, and I'm using Opal sock wool, which is in a blue and grey motley kind of colour, and it's called Talisman, and I bought it in Stornoway. I said last episode about the cable and the rib. Well, don't think I'm putting it down because it's a really lovely design. It's user error. And Becky, hello Becky, sent me a message offering me a different pattern because she wants me to love her patterns, which I thought was just lovely. I love the pattern, Becky. I just shouldn't have been knitting on it in a camper van when they were driving, but more sitting, not moving, on my couch or at the coffee shop. Any of you fancy a really nice sock pattern, do go find Becky Green on Ravelry. I took my spinning wheel downstairs again a few days ago. I've been meaning to do it for ages, but I finally took it down. I'm spinning a silk hanky that I bought from Hilltop Fibres back from the Glasgow School of Yarn a few years ago now. And I was sticking to 15 to 20 minutes a day. And whilst the mind was willing to spin, the hands were going, nope, stop now. And we will love you more tomorrow. Which I think is true because the day after I was, oh, yes. Don't overuse them. Because Turbo Gal asked on Instagram, is silk hard to spin? And I would say, no. Not at all. In fact, it's actually a really forgiving fibre to spin because it's got a really long staple to spin. You can pretty much overspin it before it breaks on you. Lisa, please go look at a YouTube tutorial on silk hankies and see how they prepare them. And then you'll have the same, ah, moment when I noticed. I was debating on whether I should keep this as a single ply. It's currently 2-ply, maybe. And I don't think I'll have 100 miles of it. So it's going to be some kind of shawl, which I haven't yet thought of. I'm just enjoying spinning. It's not hard to spin, but there's not much forgiveness of stretch. Because I kind of prepare it as to much how much I actually want it drafted. I pre-draft it, basically, before I start feeding it into the wheel. It's quite a slow process because I take a layer off, pull it to the point of drafting that I want, so it's so thin, as well, thinness of what I want it to be. Take it to the wheel, what's on it, put it on, and then once I've stopped that, put it down, start the process again, peel off another layer. And so in a way, you're not just feeding stuff into the wheel and doing the same repetitive motion, and you're not then going to have the RSI in hands. But in another way, you feel like you're stopping and starting. You get into a rhythm, but it's a different, longer kind of rhythm. There's more things in your rhythm. It's quite like the rhythm of life. I wish I knew more of that song, or I would sing it to you. The rhythm of life. Monkeys and things. Cats and gangs. There's a swallow. Or a house martin. So do give spin in silk if you have some. And if you have the worm-friendly silk, even better. Go give it a try. I just really enjoy the spinning. It's quite a zen type of thing. And I'm enjoying that zen type of thing. You just do it. And your brain enjoys it. But not too much. Right, on to sewing front. Because that's really, I was doing a big dollop of that. I was at sewing day and I finished a Batman zippy pencil case or zippy bag, which I had started months ago. And I had been given some Batman fabric because I made the mistake of admiring Eileen at Quilters one day. She was making this Batman pencil case for her son, and she gave me the leftovers from her bag, and I should have kept my big mouth shut really. Because I says, oh, that's awesome, where did you get that from? And then she says, here, you have the rest of it. But that's not always, I'm not saying it just because I want you to give me the stuff. I'm just saying it because it's awesome, it's Batman. And it matches, and I wish I had taste like that, or knew how to buy fabric like that. It's actually, I think, merely what I was saying. And then she gave me it. So it kind of opened up a whole area of fabric buying that I hadn't realised was there. It's a lovely, nice weight of cotton, and it was a joy to work with. I did have to sew it into bigger pieces and add a couple bits of my own fabric, which matched, but there was enough there to make a zippy bag. It has 4 zips in it. You're all wincing now, aren't you, non-zippy fans? Well, don't despair. The zips are put in at the start of the project, and you work around them, rather than putting them in at the end, which is where my own mum gets her loathing of zips from. The pattern was pretty good, but I would have struggled if I didn't have help from the other quilters. I finished it, and Richard claimed it pretty quickly, because he had been wanting a pencil case for work to keep his work crayons in. I like to think of him using crayons at work. The case has 3 inside zip pockets and 1 big zip to keep the whole lot shut. Then I took it home and Sandy and Daisy saw it and they decided they wanted one each. I previously bought the set of zips to make another one when our local craft shop closed, and Daisy had been given some fabric from my mum from Birmingham which had butterflies and cats on. There wasn't quite enough, so I added some bonny grey with white polka dots on it. And I used a long quarter rather than a fat quarter, because I needed a strip of 2.5 inches by 20 inches. However, everybody knows, measure twice, cut once. I know that. Well, I mucked up. I cut one of the cats in gangs, fat quarters, kind of made wrong. I cut it at 8 inches and it should have been 9 3/4. And so I kind of made up what it wasn't as matchy-matchy as I wanted it to be. However, I pieced it and I sewed it all together, so we had cat fabric on the outside of it, and I decided to quilt it, and it shrunk a good 1.5 inches on the side just from pulling in with the quilting. So then I pieced an extra bit, but I actually tight sewed, because it said cats, I heart cats, and I put cats in gas. Machine embroidered cats and gangs on it because I'm sad that way. This is really where the essay has come from, this episode. It wasn't wasted. She's got a little bit of fabric to use on her sewing machine, which is what Mum thought about. So I rattled up this on Monday and it was quite fiddly on the sides and on the binding, so I wouldn't be able to put this into a county show for prizes or really give this off as a good present. I mean, it's for Daisy, so it's perfect. I'm going to have to make another 2. One for me, one for Sandy, because he wants one in Spider-Man or Marvel or Star Wars. He's not bothered, actually. But I'm just going to use what I have in my stash. I need to order zips and some more interfacing too. And I was going to get it all from Elephant and my handbag site, because they've got some beautiful fabric. But they failed on the zips, as they only have £14 for a length of 31 zip with a head, and you can shorten your length on the zip as possible. They're really, really cool. But I want 3, well, in fact, I want 4 of various sizes. And then, because Daisy showed Lexi the colour at school, her pencil case, Lexi wants one, and Naomi wants one, and I think I'm just going to go into production with these, because I think I've started a thing. And it is a really lovely bag. It's just the sides a bit fiddly because you're at the zip head. There's at least 6 layers of material at one point, and it's quite difficult to get the sewing machine into it to make sure that it's secure. So I would never, well, I wouldn't be able to sell them anyway because it's a copyrighted design, but it's not something that I would be able to put as for sale or into a county show, if you see what I mean. My finishing is not all that. Oh, listeners, are you still awake? Into the library corner. I'm listening to the book of 1,000 Nights and One Night, which is a LibriVox recording from iTunes. This is not for our younger listeners, and sometimes you have to concentrate properly, but it has stories within stories within stories within stories, and some are tales that you're familiar with, which is where they came from in the first place, or collated from, so quite familiar, such as Genies in Bottles. Not big on the old women's rights front at all. Mostly the women get killed off. But the main narrator of the story is a female, and She's trying to placate this husbandy king dude who's been wronged by his first wife into not killing her. And so she tells him story after story after story. And the iTunes one we're using has different readers, so it's not as good as having one really good one reader you would maybe get if you had Audible.
Shoppy section.
The shop has currently got, I'm going to say, a Red McGregor, Macmillan, Robertson, Grant and Black Watch. I don't know if they're all still live. I haven't actually looked at Etsy for a couple of days. But if you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of podcasts, but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit etsy.com/salt/cadencecrack. Or you can support the podcast and get nothing back if that's your want. You get my PayPal address for that. I'm happy to review patterns, books, yarns, notions. If you're in that line, don't be shy.
Blah, blah, blah section.
Wow. Thank you very much for listening. Almost an hour I've got. I appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me splaff on. I'd like to thank all opinions are mine. Sometimes Richard, I get sometimes things wrong and I try not to. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. Which was not working correctly last week. The sent items weren't working right. And then I wasn't sure people were getting their emails. I was raging angry. Seems to be okay this week, so hopefully it's given itself a shake. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as Caithnesscraft. You can get the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The music was the Pipe Band marching up the street from the Helmsdale Highland Games this episode. I'm going to do a half marathon tomorrow, 4 miles of hills, so this will be edited on Sunday. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting!